Hey guys, welcome back to Digital Soup, the hilariously geeky podcast bringing you the best geeky conversations. And this week, it's time to start an all-new century of soup. We discuss The Lion King getting remade. Is Fallout 76 really that bad? And Adam brings the fun in the Geek Off this week with a couple of all-new soup libs. Plus, don't miss the track from Crossover in our unsigned music spotlight. So, stick around to the end of the episode for that. Jason, it's D-Soup 101! Let's get this smickety smack started!
Wow. Sounds like Dave is still recovering from our episode 100 rap party.
You can tell from the way it is. I can't believe he laid down such sick rhymes and beats.
It was insane. I didn't know a mouth could do that. Seriously. Well, everybody, welcome back to Digital Soup, the only podcast that wishes we could calibrate real life to, you know, a summer palette right now. I'm tired of this. That's a little. Did you like that? Did you like that little camera stuff in there for you two nerds?
Summer palette. I was thinking of like tastes.
Oh no, no, I'm talking about calibrate real life. Calibrate. You don't calibrate your tastes. I'm gonna accustom my tongue to salty. I've calibrated to the salty.
I don't know calibrated what you're salt. Talking about.
And I'm a I don't know what a summer palette is either.
Are you talking about like colors or?
Yes.
Oh.
What else are we calibrating?
Oh.
Oh my goodness.
Explain to me what a summer palette is then. I'd love to hear this.
A summer palette would be more, the colors are popping. You know, where in winter you got the browns and then you just have white everywhere.
Oh, I gotcha.
More colorful palette.
Huh. Interesting.
Oh, geez. I have to explain everything to these two. Well, guys, the teacher here is named Jason. And joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
You know, it is.
Besides apparently, not knowing anything about photography, go ahead.
I don't know anything about photography.
That's when you take pictures of furs.
I was just going to say that. Or, no, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, don't go there.
I was going to say what Dave takes pictures of, but we can't say that on the air.
Trees?
Oh, trees. Huh? And
trees?
You know, like... You know, like Ward, Beaver.
No.
I don't know what you mean. What's up first here?
Huh?
We're back after a whole bunch of episodes where we didn't have a regular show.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too. How are we going to get back into the rhythm of a regular show since we've had all these specials, like 3-4 weeks of specials now?
Yeah. It's been so long that all I've done is surfed on social media, and now I'm a little lonely and depressed.
Oh, I'm sad for you, man.
It sounds so genuine.
Oh, his sincerity is off the sincerity meter is going off.
It's like a Geiger counter. It's like, wait, does it sound like that?
It's more like clicking and chirp. Anyway,
chirp, chirp.
Something we kind of already knew, but the University of Pennsylvania has a new study published that shows a clear causal link between social media use and the rates of loneliness and depression. As the article says, the Ivy League brought us these platforms, and now they may be working to bring them down. Who wants to talk a little bit more about this fascinating
survey? I think we all do. You want to go first?
No, just Dave.
Go for it, Jason. I'm curious. I put the story in here, so I want to see if you actually read it.
I actually did not read it, but that you know, because the headline, I know everything about it. I probably went to college. I probably went to the U of P and learned all about this.
That's going to be hard to mix. No, I probably went to the college.
No, but I did hear just recently, not from this article, about how people are getting depressed because of, specifically, they were saying Facebook. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you getting depressed because of Facebook? I mean, yes, it sucks. We all hate it. But why are you getting depressed? And I guess that there's people out there that when they post something, if they don't get like likes... It depresses them. If they put something out there and they get 4 likes, they're like depressed all to heck. And I'm like, why do you put that much weight into something like this? That is so stupid. Don't base your self-worth on how many likes you get on a post. I mean, I don't get any likes and I'm not depressed. I get down likes. I get unlikes. I got mislikes. I got dislikes.
And dat likes.
Yes, and one day I met somebody in real life. He gave me a fist like to the face.
Okay.
because of something I wrote.
So, quick social media story sidetrack. Jason, you posted just recently after episode 100 the photo on our Digital Soup Facebook page saying you finished your wife's Christmas shopping. And yeah. So for those of you listeners who didn't see it, there's a old joke that we heard the clip again on our episode 100 about Jason for like buying his wife Funyuns and oil funnel. for Valentine's Day.
It's one of the gifts that keeps on giving.
Right. And so he posts this picture where he's got a new job, making a little more money, and then he's springing, he's upgrading, going for the reusable plastic oil filter. Yeah. Or not filter, funnel. Well, my wife sees it today, and she's probably going to yell at me for sharing this story.
Did she think it was for peeing in?
No, she knows that I do a lot of our social media stuff. Not all of it, but a lot of it. And so she
thought you did that?
Yeah, she sees this. She goes, was this you? What is this supposed to mean?
Oh, yeah, because it's under our account, and it doesn't say my name. It says the show's name.
Did you say, I don't have those dainty fingers?
Oh, dainty? Those are masculine, man. They look like Andre the Giant's fingers.
Or something like that, yeah. But no, she sees that. What is this supposed to mean? And I'm like, what are you talking about? She sends me the post, and I was like, oh, that was Jason. And she goes, uh-huh, I know you do most of the social media. And I'm like, no, it was Jason.
She doesn't believe you.
Yeah, well, she did, because I said, well, dude, obviously, if you listen to our show, you would know what that meant. I didn't say that, but I wanted to. But
so
I told her what it was.
I can tell you were at Walmart.
Yeah.
By the price tag, Jason. So, Dave, and from the brand. Dave, you got to go pick one of these up for her as a
stocking
stuffer.
She sounded like she was a little bit upset through the
message.
Jason,
you've got to mail her one and put Dave's name on it as the front.
No, she sounded upset, and I had to explain. I said, no, it's a joke from an old episode early on, and it came back up in our episode 100. And, Jason was just joking about buying his wife Funyuns and oil funnels for Valentine's Day, and she goes, oh, okay. But I still think she kind of, I'm not sure that she believes me.
But wait a second, right below it says Digital Soup, Hilarious the Geeky Podcast, but it says published by, and it has my name,
but only though me and you and Adam, if he was on Facebook, only the admins see that.
Okay,
the general public just sees Digital Soup.
Okay, now can we relate this to the story that we're talking about right now?
Can.
Because I only got 8 engagements, guys. Oh, you guys got to talk me off the ledge.
Well, jump. No, I'm just kidding. What you said, though, in all honesty, I had to share that story, that sidetracked, but it's very true. You nailed it on the head, to be perfectly honest with you, because I know if you've listened to Shutter Time at all or any number of places, I've had a number of conversations with Sid and Mac over there in other places. I've written about it on my website too, where we get so addicted, and I think of it in terms of Instagram primarily, but so addicted to, how many likes you got on an image, how many followers you have. And it really, when you don't see those numbers coming in, you really start to get in your own head wondering, like, is my work crap? What's the problem? And you start beating yourself up. And there are studies that show when you get that silly little heart on your image or a thumbs up like on your Facebook post or whatever it is, share or retweet or, anything like that on Twitter, you get actually a little bit of like a dopamine hit in your brain, and it gives you get addicted to it, basically, where you start craving that, you need it, you look at it, and that's the only reason you start posting. And when you're not getting that, you're getting depressed. But the other thing it's doing, ironically, is that these social media platforms that are made to, they're made to bring everybody closer, keep people connected, they're actually killing our ability to communicate in so many ways, because now everyone's face is stuck in a screen. We forget how to behave and talk to people.
I think it passes as an excuse that I'm still connected, so I don't really have to go talk to you or hang out in real life and all this stuff. And so there's another perspective here that's very similar to getting all that dopamine from getting all the likes and stuff, is that the depression part, from what I've observed personally from some people I know, is that you're seeing everybody else posting all this awesome stuff they're doing.
The highlight
day
reel.
To day. It's their full highlight reel, and you're sitting there not doing anything like that. And if you're an introvert and you don't like to post, you're just watching people's lives go by day after day.
Also known as a creeper.
Well, not necessarily.
I'm just kidding. But through your bedroom window.
But here's the thing, too. You are only witnessing, you know, they're capturing a specific
witness
moment
me.
In time. The whole rest of their day might have been crap. They might have been fighting with their kids all day. The husband and wife probably, you know, were throwing knives at each other just an hour earlier. But then they captured this pristine, awesome moment in time. And now somebody out there is jealous because, oh, look at the great life they have. Yep. Their life is probably not any better than yours, but they can fake it.
Yep. Yeah, it's a big front.
You hear that, everybody on social media? Bah, humbug.
Just kidding.
And while you're at it, follow Digital Soup.
So make sure you hit us up at Twitter.
Yeah. Now, bringing that back to that, nothing I've ever posted on Facebook has ever depressed me. But as you guys know, we've talked about it before, listener numbers, sometimes I get depressed. I'm like, oh my God, why are do we not have more people listening? What can we do to get more? I guess that is my, you know, I'm not lonely, no, and I'm not depressed. I guess I get, you know, I'm like, what are we doing? Why are we not at 10 million an episode now?
Yeah, it's what Adam said, though. You start comparing yourself, and that's a very dangerous place to go because, like you said, you're seeing just a highlight reel. So you start looking at, you know, say other shows and you listen to them and you're like, well, we're that good. Why aren't we getting those likes? Why aren't we doing that? You know, or like in my photo stuff, I've gone through it a time or two and I'm sure I'll hit it again, but you forget and you kind of, without knowing it, get sucked into it. And next thing you know, you're looking at your work, you're posting stuff and you're seeing work of other people and you're like, well, mine's just as good as that. Why, you know, I'm comparing it and why am I not getting the likes? Why aren't people looking at me? What's my problem? What's wrong with me? And it's nothing. It's stupid.
We'd have
social
to have
media.
A whole nother show to, you know, let you know what's wrong with you, Dave.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a series of shows.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, when you talk about the numbers depressing you, you guys have known I've been kind of keeping you posted on things, but, our numbers here, you know, we're kind of used to seeing the numbers we have on Digital Soup here. And you get used to, you know, you log in after the episode's posted and, you know, you see, oh, we're getting said, oh, good numbers this week. Oh, that was a good show, whatever. Well, I started the spinoff for Super Chats and we didn't talk about it last week because we were focused on episode 100, but started
that
spin-off.
Was that called like Adventures in Curiosity?
No.
What?
It's called Adventures in Creativity.
Curiosity.
Yeah, no, creativity. And what I did.
Crotchety?
No,
curating. I keep getting it wrong.
No, it's curi. Oh, you keep it. It's creativity.
And by curiosity? What?
No, Adventures in Creativity. And what we did is we decided that the Super Chats, while we loved them here, we were just going to spin them off into their own show, and I'm doing my own thing there weekly. And I forgot how depressing it can be to look at those numbers when you're just starting out. I mean, I feel like I'm doing okay for a brand new show, but at the same time, man, oh man, I just comparing these, you know, this show with that other new one that I'm doing, and even they're comparing, like, what the heck? Why can't I get my numbers up? And it's like, well, you've got 4 episodes out, so you know, relax. But it's very real, that comparison feeling, and you know, kind of finding yourself feeling a little down or you know, upset about it. I can't say I've ever felt lonely from social media use, but absolutely felt depressed and frustrated and, you know, that mindset of why am I bothering doing this? No one's looking at it anyways, kind of a thing. It's interesting.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with my new channel I have over on YouTube. Yeah. All about the flanges. And I get a new a toilet flange, and I go and talk about it. You know, I have a video of how I, you know, put it in, make sure it's not leaking and stuff. And then we do some hardcore testing on it, like, You know, sometimes I'll fill the tank full of oatmeal and see how well that works. You know, I just, you know, it's just, I'm not getting that numbers though. People just aren't interested in, you know, toilet flanges. I don't know.
The struggle's real. Maybe you need to be adding more tags to that, like hashtag toilet flange oatmeal test.
Yeah,
probably.
It's got a trend
crazy
folks.
Like that. But yeah, if anybody wants to check it out, it's, you know, youtube.com/ home of the flange.
Oh, no. Have fun registering that one. So MIT has launched their first plane with no moving parts, because I'm flying away from the last story. In a move of pure sci-fi wonder, according to whoever wrote our show notes, MIT has successfully launched the first plane consisting of no moving parts. I think that's called a glider. powered instead by ionic wind. Oh, charged particles. Let's talk more.
Yeah.
The plane lacks any propellers or turbines and was inspired by Star Trek, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of awesome.
We like to say track.
How far can it go?
Well,
this thing looks like it looks like the Wright brothers, like, original concept plane.
Yeah, I mean, they don't, in the article here, they don't actually give any, you know, official distances or anything like that that I could see. But what they do say is that in their words, the plane, the phenomenon, is a silent but mighty flow of ions that's produced aboard the vehicle, generating enough thrust to propel it over a sustained, steady flight, which sounds like, you know, it's a decent distance, and they're looking at it, you know, probably nothing soon for, like, noiseless commercial flights, but... looking at in drone technology and a few other things there, but they basically, this is something they said couldn't be done. You know, for years it was assumed it'd be impossible. You couldn't produce enough of this ionic wind, basically, as they call it in the article, that would actually propel a large aircraft for a long period of time. And they've done it.
How large is this?
Well, I wonder, I'm looking through, it doesn't give the exact size, but they're saying it's a plane. So I'm guessing you're probably looking at the size of, like, some of the single unmanned aircraft, you know, not unmanned, but the single, like
a Cessna.
Yeah. Those real small planes like that.
So yeah, they made
this is not passenger size. This is just
not yet. No,
no. And they only got it to fly 60 meters.
Is that all it was?
Yep, but
hey, can you translate that meters. To miles for me, please?
Well, it's way less than a mile.
60 meters to miles? that's going to be 0.0372823 there.
Yeah.
Now, if you want it in feet.
Okay, there we go. We'll
do we're that. Talking 196 feet.
Oh, wow.
So
I mean, you might as well just walk.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is,
I'll give you a ride for 100 feet.
That's I love what was that ending on there? Feet.
I give you feet, you give me ride.
That was a little bit Bobcat Goldthwait, I think.
That's what I was trying to do, but I couldn't get it.
So, yeah. 4 times shorter than the Wright brothers' first flight, but it all starts with a short flight.
Yeah,
yep,
you
know, sure
the
does.
The Wright brothers, 852 feet for their first flight at Kitty Hawk. 60 feet for MIT. They'll be able to traverse the world using these things in no time. I didn't even know ionic. What is this called? Electro aerodynamic thrust.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that was a thing you could.
Well,
use.
We're not scientists, dude.
Well, you've seen this technology though.
Have I?
Oh yeah, they have it.
Oh, thanks for clearing it up, Dave. All right, next story. No,
they talk about
you
it.
You guys
a little,
have.
You guys are so simple.
Yeah, duh. No, they talk about it. They're mostly little gadgety kind of little desktop gizmos where they'll have things hovering, basically.
Magnets, dude.
Some
not
of them
ionic
are, but
wind.
No, not all of them. Some of them are using these small. The article references it even. They're calling it small lifters. That are tethered to, like, electrical supplies that are not supplies, but, like, you know, voltage power they're connected to and produce that. I believe though.
Wait, so you have to have a power source to create the ionic wind?
Well, yeah, electricity needs to charge the air that it's going to use for the propulsion.
Whoa. So how are you?
It's so not plugged in. They're large batteries. That's why they assumed it was impossible for so long, because it would need such a large power source.
Yeah, the batteries. Look at how big the batteries are in electric cars. Can you imagine a plane, like a commercial flight?
Yeah, but they, I mean, you can read the full study. They've got it, the
Science Journal. I don't have time for that. I got kids.
But what they're saying, though, is that they have devised the propulsion system to work on a larger scale with basically less voltage, you know, so that it just kind of concentrates everything down so it's more effective, you know, with less power.
The amazing thing with this is that that's like the ultimate stealth plane.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's There's dead no quiet.
Sound. Well, that's the thing when and they use you the drones and stuff. You know, our enemies can hear those drone engines as they're flying over whatever their, you know, reconnaissance is doing. Mm-hmm.
Well, and with this, if they're within 60 meters, you're going to sneak up on them with no problems. But no, I thought it was really cool because it's another one of those areas where science is taking... You know, we it seems like these days we don't see it that often anymore, where, you know, you think back even as far as the 80s, you know, where you'd see these big scientific technological advances. Look back through our history, there's always these periods where things are kind of discovered and invented, and it's these giant leaps and bounds, you know, and things change really fast. And now we're at a point where we don't see as many of these big advances. Instead, we're getting things like the 47th version of an iPhone, you know, and things like that. It's all, we've been in this cycle for so long where it feels like for every one kind of genuinely new and interesting scientific discovery or invention or whatever it is, we've got a billion of these things that are just refining existing ideas.
Okay. Like, so I agree, but I was going to interject with some details on this thing. So nature.com is where I found this. It's more detail on what they did there. Mm-hmm. And what's kind of cool about this is they're referring to this as a solid state propulsion.
Right.
And we love SSDs, so now we're going to love SSPs.
Hey, SSP. You down with SSP?
Yeah, you know me. So this was a
You guys missed the opportunity. It should have been, SSD. Come on.
No.
No, that was horrible, Dave.
No, you're stupid.
Adam and I were great on not doing that.
So in case you didn't know, Adam and I are into music. We're musicians, and Jason just likes music, as we've already established. and Dave's an idiot.
What? Dave's been on social media too much. He's a little depressed now.
Yeah, and lonely.
So
I am. It's his back pain that's killing me, is what the truth is.
Well, hit the backspace.
That's what happened. I think I got a space in my vertebrae.
Yeah, you better go see a chiro.
Tomorrow morning, my man. Nice. Anyways.
Racked and cracked. Fixed wing airplane with a 5-meter wingspan.
Racked and cracked.
Yeah, put them in the Iron Maiden.
They put you on the rack and then they crack you.
It's true, but I never heard it that way. And tomorrow, I'm going to do my best when I go see my chiropractor. I've been going to this guy for probably 12, 13 years now.
And
I'm going to do my best. And he's going to say, hey, what's going on today? What's bothering you? I'm just going to say, needed to get racked and cracked. Just to see what
he'll
he
refer
says.
To as an adjustment. When I was doing my research on going to the chiropractor, there's a lot of people that call him rack and crack.
I've never heard that, but anyways.
So anyway, they have a 5-meter, so roughly a 18-foot wingspan. They flew it 10 times and showed that it achieved steady level flight. All the batteries and power systems, including a specifically developed ultralight high voltage 40 kilovolt power converter, were carried on board. We show that conventionally accepted limitations in thrust to power ratio and thrust density, previously thought to make electro aerodynamics unfeasible, are surmountable. Cool.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
And they don't emit any combustion emissions.
So safe for the environment?
Yeah, exactly.
Environment.
Environment.
Man.
Hey, man, check out the environment.
Hey, before we get off this topic here, because I wanted to jump onto something that Dave had said, but then you interjected with what you had said. So hopefully I haven't missed my time. But Dave was talking about these, you know, technological leaps and bounds, how it's, you know, very sparse now. And I honestly believe, and I think a lot of people do too, that a lot of the innovation that we used to see all the time, the lack of it now is because of the defunding of NASA. NASA actually so much of the stuff that they created for the space programs, et cetera, did migrate down into the consumer world. You know, cell phones was one of them. We talked about it in one of the other episodes. We went through a whole bunch of different things that actually came from the research that NASA did. And with the defunding of NASA and almost being non-existent anymore, that is probably why we're not seeing all this great innovation.
Could be a definite role in there. You know, so much of it too, I think, is because the stuff there is advances. This isn't to make it sound like there's no advances happening. There are
there's cool none,
things.
Dude.
Yeah, I mean, there's cool things happening all the time if you look for it.
We are just 3 years away from living the movie Idiocracy, just so you know.
Well, it just makes me wonder, though, are we on the brink, possibly, of having another one of those periods in time where all of a sudden a couple, you know, big discoveries or big scientific breakthroughs are going to happen, and we're going to see some stuff really change again? Because overall, I mean, whether it's from NASA or not, things have been a little steady. It's been a lot more refining than it has been like, I'm not talking about new individual small little inventions or gadgets or whatever. I'm talking about the things that...
Big game changers.
Right. The game changers that really, really impact everybody in the way the world works, you know, in the way things happen. And we haven't seen those in a while.
Maybe it feels that way, but I know there's been a lot of stuff developed, you know... I can't think of anything off the very tip top of my head, but I mean, well, as far as the
hats,
digital age,
and new hats,
the age of data stuff, and new hats is where there's
tip top of your head, dude.
Yeah,
crocheting, that was a good one.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, we've talked about some of it in the past here, where we, you know, one of the stories that's coming up in the back of my mind was where they're developing that it's like a fabric that will generate electricity for you. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that are going on that can, you know, advances to help medical things and all that. Yep. The stuff is going on.
I remember there was a couple of days ago. I don't remember what this was, but I read it. It was some new technology or some new material somebody had created. And I turned to my wife and I said, "Wow, I can't wait for this to be a reality. This world is crazy."
Yeah.
Like, just the stuff that people are coming up with still, even though we might not be hearing everything about it. I mean, we've talked a lot about crazy cool things, like you said, on this show, and everything from those wearables and special fabrics. And now this, you know, we have an ion plane that could revolutionize the way we do travel, you know, future. Who knows? It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm all for more of that and less of things like Facebook Portal stealing, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's pretty awesome, though, man.
These kinds of things that are just gathering every single waking minute of data from
you. Yeah.
Hey, I remember, before we
okay, go ahead.
I was just gonna say before we go on to the next story here. Okay, so we all know that I'm kind of a geek nerd, you know, spazoid.
Oh,
and I don't know my audience all the time. So anyway, tonight at work, I work at a restaurant. Everybody knows I work at a restaurant. Now I work at a different restaurant, but I'm not gonna get into that. But I still work at a restaurant. But I went up to my server lead and I said, "Hey, what do you think? Can we get rid of a server or two? We don't probably need all these servers." And she looked at me and she goes, "Oh, no, we could probably, do it without a couple." So I'll cut her and I'll cut her. So I looked at her and I said, "Make it so." And she just looked at me and I go, "Jean-Luc Picard?" And
yep, knowing your audience.
Just more dead eye. And I'm like, "Okay, I'll talk to you later."
So you realize the next generation started in like 1987, right?
Well, and I don't want to point out
the my employees either, so
right.
Make a David Adam know, but
watching television probably isn't a high priority for them, let's just say that.
No. And then did you ever see that video of his name is Number One, right? They called him
Jean-Luc called him.
Yeah, how he always enters a chair.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the show before. That's awesome. Yeah.
I love that, man. Anyway. I want to enter chairs like that, but let's go back to what you're talking about.
All right, I had one thing that I remember stood out to me. This is probably about a decade ago that I read. There was old quotes on scientific progress and stuff like that. And this was like the late 1800s. And scientists at the time, one of them was quoted as saying, "I think we've reached the peak of what is possible with scientific discovery and technology."
1800s, they said that.
Late 1800s, because they could not, you know, imagine.
Fathom,
you know, wow, we've come so far. You know, where else is there to go? And the answer is infinity.
Well,
you know, you can keep on creating stuff and exploring strange new worlds.
You can, exactly. But in order to do that, you've got to get the younger generation that is those people that are going to create those things and have those ideas. You've got to get them out of Facebook and out of Snapchat and Instagram, because right now that's a very real concern, I think, where, not saying that the younger generation is not creative, but things have changed so much there where they just, a lot of times, so many of them are just like zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's always going to be the standouts. I don't think having social media is going to inhibit anybody from reaching those kind of crazy capabilities within themselves, but it certainly doesn't help when society is no longer talking to each other face to face.
Right.
Now, can I ask you guys a question here, both of you two?
Yeah.
Can you remember back to, let's say 1980, how old were you guys both in 1980?
15.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to give my age. No, I was 2. No,
you were 2. Okay, so that's, that's just too far back then. Okay, so let's go 1990, because that still is going to work for this. 1990, you guys were what, about 10-ish?
12, yeah.
10, 12. If I would have walked up to you, don't make jokes about, what are you doing over here when I'm 10? But if I would have walked up to you and said, in 20 years, let's see, 19, in 20, 25, it's supposed to say, in 25 years, you will be able to pull out of the sky into a small little device music, movies, television.
Well, music, we did have radios back then.
No. Okay. Okay. And you would be able to watch those movies that you pulled from the sky on screen.
On your TV through the antenna, yeah.
Good story, man.
Okay.
I know what you're getting at.
We had the Game Boy.
You understand what I'm talking about. All of your movies, TV, and music, you're going to pull from the sky in a resolution that is 100 times better than anything you're watching on your family's television at this point. And your entire music collection of thousands of music albums could fit on a device as small as your fingernail. Think of like a micro SD card. You would not believe any of that. I doubt it.
Because I don't know if I even knew what the word resolution meant at that point.
You thought it was something you had for New Year's.
Yeah, I thought it was a New Year's thing my parents did.
But I'm trying to you're saying that in the 1800s they could not fathom us having any more advances. Well, even just 25 years ago, you couldn't imagine what we have today. You could imagine what we thought we'd have today, cars. Right. Things like that. But the stuff that we do have was not imagined back then.
Right.
Very true.
Well, if you go back and look at some of the people that did sci-fi shows and try to guess what the future is going to look like, had some pretty awesome predictions. You look at Star Trek The Next Generation, which came out, like I said, 1987. They have really slick touchscreen interfaces.
Yeah.
They're holding things kind of similar to iPads and tablets, thin screen stuff. They kind of flash forward into the year 2010, or so, as far as what they were visualizing, but pretty close to the mark. Whereas you look at like Back to the Future 2, where they thought 2015 we'd have hover cars and stuff. It's like, dang it, why aren't we have those yet? We don't even have power laces or self-drying jackets.
Yeah, we should have.
Rip off.
Well, we have power laces. You've seen that one video where it's some type of magic trick they do, but they have untied shoelaces, and he just starts twisting his foot, and it automatically ties the shoelaces.
He might be using ion powers.
Yeah, probably. Something like that. Little batteries in them.
All right. We've been on this story for quite a long time. What do we got next?
What's Rollgate, Dave? And not Rogaine that you use on your head. What's Rollgate?
Clearly, I don't use Rogaine on my head.
No, he uses it on his chin.
Rollgate, I thought, isn't that raspberry toothpaste?
Rollgate.
Hand me the Rollgate, honey.
No, there are other versions of this similar software. I just thought this was kind of cool because in the age of no one connecting, You know, I look at the three of us. We like playing games, but we're all geographically disconnected. We have no, you know, it's very tough for us to get together. And so many people still love the idea of doing game nights or, you know, like the board game versions of, you know, RPGs and, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, all those kinds of things.
World of Warcraft.
Yeah, well, but I mean,
there is a board game for World of Warcraft, by the way.
There might be. I mean, there's a ton of great games. And if you really look into it, it seems like the board game realm is really kind of seeing a nice resurgence right now. People are really into it.
My girls like them.
Yeah, and oftentimes though, it's just tough to get together, especially as you get a little older, tough to get together with friends, you know, to do this or get scheduling or whatever else. And a couple guys from the CD Projekt Red, the people that did Witcher and the new, what is it, Cyber something 2077, Cyberpunk, I forget what it's called. But anyways, they developed this app called Rollgate, which lets you basically log into the app and play these board games long distance, wherever you're at. It's got the virtual dice in there. It's got the chat components, everything else, so you can follow the campaign or whatever it is you're working on, you know, in the game. So I wanted to bring it up because there are other versions of this out there, but one of the things is that they wanted to make this super easy to jump into a game, where some of these other ones are a little complex to set up, I guess, and, you know, tough to find people to play with. This one looks like they're trying to build a community where you can just jump in, much like, you know, if you were going to jump into a multiplayer game online on a video game
and get
you
can pwned join at the beginning.
Well, yeah, you can join no random teams, or if you're playing, you know, they got things set up so if you're playing a game that maybe you're just a super beginner at or you've never played or something like that, you can, you know, they've got them separated to like beginner friendly things like that. So They've really looked like they're putting some together here to help people enjoy the board gaming side of things even more, which I thought was kind of cool, especially when you're trying to stay connected. But you know, there's ways to around it, I suppose, Discord chats and all of that. But then, you know, you don't have a way to take care of like the dice rolls or, you know, all of that stuff. So this app looks like it's doing all of that for you.
Do you have 20 sided die?
I do.
In this game, though, as I'm asking, do they have 20 sided
die? Yeah, they do. They've got all the standard die sets in there. And
Is there a cloak of invisibility?
I suppose it depends on what game you're playing.
Yeah, you put your phone in your pocket.
Hit mute.
Sweet. I have to admit, I don't understand this type of game.
Well, it's not the app itself, Rollgate, is not a game.
Okay.
What it is, it's an app, a tool, basically, that'll let's say you and I and Jason wanted to, for some reason, say, hey, we've never really done this. Why don't we try doing a D&D campaign?
Okay, because I was sitting here staring at this like, I think I jumped too far in here. it's an RPG where you text each other.
Yeah, no. What it is like, let's say we were going to, you know, try and set up a D&D campaign.
Now I get
it. And, you know, it's a way to, it's
ding
a tool.
Ding and dong campaign?
Yeah, to facilitate us being able to do that long distance like that. So it's a tool that lets people play these RPG board games and gotcha. Things like Dungeons and Dragons and all that kind of stuff long distance.
Understood.
But it looks like they're also building a community in so that you can jump in with, you know, like if it wasn't the three of us, maybe I had an itch to go play some, you know, whatever games are out there and could just jump in and do it.
How about for Mousetrap? Could we play a long distance Mousetrap with this?
That I don't know.
I don't know what they're saying, but yeah, the trailer looks pretty good. Did you guys actually watch it?
Yeah,
I did not.
Dave?
I did. Yep, and I saw it when it went up.
It actually the lions, the CGI looks pretty awesome. Simba as a cub looks super cute. I think it looks pretty good. Disney's been putting out a lot of live action movies. They had Beauty and the Beast, they had Cinderella.
The Little Mermaid my kids just watched.
What?
Yeah, there was a live action Little Mermaid. It's already out on DVD, dude.
Was there really?
I'm not joking.
From Disney.
It hits theaters this month.
Yes.
Called Aquaman.
It does not. I've already watched it.
I said it's called Aquaman.
You are so full of it. Live action Little Mermaid.
No. Yep. It just came out, dude.
That can't be actually Disney, is it?
It is.
That's weird. Well, this is this one here, the Lion King remake. This is being done by Jon Favreau, who's also done the Jungle Book recently. And it looks like this is kind of a similar treatment, although this one won't have any humans in it. But everything, for the most part, CG. I don't know if they shot some of it in real locations and are just adding the CG later or how they're doing that. But I don't know. I'm kind of torn on this myself.
I think it'll be good. They got James Earl Jones to redo the voice. Mm-hmm. And I think their other live actions have been good. Little Mermaid, that the live action Little Mermaid was not a Disney release.
Oh, no. Was it? And, I thought it was.
In fact, the Little Mermaid is not a Disney tale.
Yeah, it's not Ariel. It's some other girl.
Ariel. It's a knockoff.
No. Her it ugly is sister with a unibrow like, oh, and mustache.
Is that a swimming Sasquatch fish? Oh, it's Ariel.
No, it's Aquaman. Jason Momoa is a hairy dude.
Hey, did you guys see the prequel to Aquaman?
No.
Waterboy? It's like when he was super young. He was playing Nemo.
Oh, man. And then they threw him under the water to try and drown him. And
yep. Came up as Aquaman.
He survived and became king of Atlantis.
That's super cray-cray. The nice thing is that the Little Mermaid on IMDb, it's like 4.3 stars, and the top user review says, just about the worst movie ever.
My girls liked it. I didn't ever watched it. My girls liked it.
Oh, that's fine. They're allowed to. They're young.
They're kids, yeah.
They can critique when they have their own podcast, Dad.
Yeah. Why didn't you know this movie even existed? It was advertised on television. The
Little Mermaid one? I don't remember ever seeing it.
You know what else is being advertised on television, and I really want to see it?
What's that?
Mortal Engines.
I thought that looked kind of cool, too.
It does. I love it when they go, finish him.
Who's
And then that one guy, he pops in, he goes, Toasties!
That is exactly what happened. That's the crazy part.
That's it's Peter Jackson, right, doing this? Mortal Engines?
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
I think so.
Man, he's doing everything nowadays, man. He's doing World War One movies. Mm-hmm. He's doing, you know, this awesome sci-fi movie coming up. Speaking of that, did you watch that yet, Adam?
Which one?
Don't Grow Old or the Peter Jackson World War One thing.
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
I want to see that Overlord movie still. I heard that's
it's
supposed
good.
To be good.
I'll see it when it comes out on video, like everything.
Now going back to The Lion King, though, I do think that's... I think it's going to be good.
Well, let me ask you this, though, because the thing that... The reason I'm so torn with this, the preview they did, they just reenacted the opening scene from the animated one. Okay, that's fine. It looks beautiful. Everything looks good. But you don't see any characters talking, right? And what I'm trying to figure out is...
Well, you hear Mufasa talking.
You hear them, but you don't see them, like their mouths moving. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to figure out how they're going to do this with these CG'd, realistic-looking creatures talking.
You didn't read the preface. Every single one of the animals communicate via telepathy. Well,
they're using Discord app. No, so Jon Favreau is making this one. He also made The Jungle Book. I don't know if you saw that one.
I did not.
I haven't yet, so, but my girl's
it's actually
good.
Very, very good. Well done. And it's
I'm not a Disney guy. I don't watch Disney stuff.
It's all CG, but the animals also talk, and he did a great job.
So how do the mouths look, really though? Good. That's what when I picture this, I see these realistic-looking animals, and then I picture in the old Conan O'Brien skit where they had the mouth over.
Yep, all the animals have a human mouth, Dave. They're like, hey there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so bizarre to me. And it's like, I'd almost prefer it if it was all, you know, like Jason said jokingly, telepathic or something where you had them talking, but they weren't moving their mouths. Because I remember like in Chronicles of Narnia, when the lion.
What
the heck was his name?
Aslan?
Aslan, yeah. He would talk too. And it just was a little weird because he was. Yeah. Very much the same looking creature.
So the Jungle Book effects were way better.
Okay.
They're also, you know, over a decade
newer.
Yeah. And they did it in like an entire forest full of animals. They almost all of them talk. They did a pretty good job.
Okay. What about when they're singing and dancing? That's going to be kind of weird, though.
Well, they did have a giant monkey singing, and it was who's the guy I used to try to impersonate? Wow.
Oh, Walken.
Yeah, Christopher Walken did the voice of it. It was pretty good.
See, this one's got some big names behind it too. I mean, Donald Glover. It's got I forget who's playing like
Childish Gambino's in it?
Yeah,
this?
Seth Rogen is doing Pumbaa, I think.
That makes sense.
You know, a couple different. John Oliver's in there playing is the bird.
Is he high?
Probably, but I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I'll.
Who else is in it?
I don't have the full list in front of me. I'm just
get the list because I want to make some funny about everyone.
I don't
of
have
them.
It
Let's
in
go.
Front of me, and I'm slow.
Okay, I'll pull it up
boy.
For you right now. Right. James Earl Jones is reprising his role as Mufasa.
They got Darth Vader himself. Chewit.
Okay, hold on a second. James Earl Jones, do you think this movie will have new dialogue, or will they use all of his same lines and voiceover from the original movie?
No, you could even tell from the trailer it was different.
Was it? Okay.
It was him. So that Chiwetel Ejiofor, oh great, now I just Jasoned up a name. Whoever this guy is playing Scar. I see the one that played, he's the one that played Black Panther, right?
No, that's Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, dang it.
Oh, speaking of that, before we go any farther, did you guys watch the mean tweets, Marvel Universe or Avengers version?
No, I think I did at one point, yeah.
What one of the, you know, because they tweet mean stuff, yep. Right? That was one of them for Chadwick. It was like, how can a cool-ass black dude have a white-ass name like Chadwick?
Yeah, yeah, I saw that one. Well, the funny thing is with Black Panther, I've seen a lot of people saying this, and maybe it's just a movie trope, but when you think about the story of Black Panther in the Marvel Universe and the Lion King, they are almost identical, including some of the stuff that's
the technology,
said.
Right?
No, I mean, story-wise, but when you think of some of the stuff, the conversations that happen between...
They had Thanos attack their home, too?
No, that wasn't in the Black Panther movie. No, but when you have... When you have the conversations that happen between T'Challa and his father, they're almost identical to Mufasa and Simba. You have both dads getting killed by, you know, an evil bad guy. And you have, you know, both of the bad guys coming in saying they are the rightful king. There's so many similarities. You can find... Look it up online, you'll find big conspiracy theories.
So what you're saying is the Black Panther ripped off the Lion King.
Well, maybe.
That's Jason at Digital Soup Podcast.
Maybe the Lion King ripped off the Black Panther stories.
Well, we just have to look at the dates, which one predated the other.
Hey, you know what? Disney owns them both, so
yeah,
whatever.
I guess they can
do whatever they want.
it's a new crossover.
What do they call it? It's not awesome. A reboot necessarily. It's like a reboot and reskin or something.
It's a reimagining.
Yeah. Can you imagine if they would have had Aquaman, they'd be like, oh, let's just borrow the story from Little Mermaid.
And well, Jason Momoa is singing. He's singing some of those tunes. Under the sea.
Speaking
Aquaman
of that.
Aquaman wakes up drunk next to Ursula.
And he's got a tail this time.
He's like, what happened?
Whoa.
Hey, this weekend, Jason Momoa is hosting SNL. So I know you guys don't like SNL, but you might want to check it out for him because they might do some pretty funny stuff.
Who else was on that list, Adam?
That is Donald Glover, Billy Eichner. I don't know who that is.
I know Billy Idol.
Billy on the street. Yeah.
John
Connie,
Seth Rogen. Alfred Woodard, Keegan-Michael Key, plays Kamari.
Seriously?
Yep.
That's awesome.
They've got a big cast.
John Oliver plays Zazu the bird. Beyonce's playing Nala.
Oh, yeah. I did notice your point, Jason, which I just want to remind you, you can go listen to Adventures in Creativity over on...
What?
I'm splitting off, doing my own thing, and I'm going to get hugely successful. See, I was making a joke about not really, but...
You know what?
Bad joke, I guess.
Speaking of being bad and really, what do you guys think about Fallout 76? Is it really that bad?
No.
I don't think it's that bad.
No, I don't think it is. I mean, I've only played it about an hour, but I enjoyed it.
To me, a lot of it seems like Fallout 4 reskinned, but with online, you know, it's online. Maps are bigger. I think Dave and I were talking about this earlier a little bit because there's been a lot of hate around Fallout 76, you know. One of my comments, and I'm going to say up front, this game is not perfect. There's glitches. No. There's stuff like that. There's some frustrating things. There's servers going down, kind of like Ark. But at the same time, the world is huge to explore, and you get to play online with friends. There's a bunch of new awesome stuff in there. And so far, I've been leveling up and playing with you guys a little bit, and it's been really enjoyable for me. It's so I think it's kind of cool, and I love the dystopian, you know, how everything just seems destroyed and rotted away and weather.
Great graphic style. I like the world they've created.
Yeah, it's very atmospheric, very cool. But again, you know, there's nothing perfect, but I think going back to the a lot of people complaining about it, there's some really valid complaints out there, but I also think there's a lot of people that want to join the bandwagon of hate when it comes to stuff. And, you know, we want to see this fail, so we're going to be like, yeah, call it out. You know, I don't know if people really want to see it fail, but
I think it's
there's
just
a lot of people that kind of pile on just to be able to also just jump in and complain.
It's just what the cool kids are doing, right? They see their favorite Twitch streamers and their favorite people like that bashing on it. And so now they've never played the game, yet they're bashing on it themselves. I mean, the only two real criticisms I'll say up to this point that kind of are a little bit frustrating and irritating is that number one,
the naked bug.
No, that I found that pretty funny. We'll talk about that in a second.
That was hilarious.
But I think that the most frustrating thing is that this game came out on what, the 14th, and on Black Friday, which was what, the 23rd, 24th, Bethesda puts the game on sale for $20 less than it was on launch day.
Oh,
so you can now get it for like $40 instead of $60. And we just paid a full $60 for this thing a week ago. And that's a little frustrating. And I don't know what their plan is. But the other thing is, it looks like they're going in. A lot of people are able to, you know, request a refund on the PC versions because that's, you know, digital. And they're able to get refunds on this. And some reports, I haven't tried it yet, but I thought about trying this. They said that actually you can go and file a complaint and you can actually get a credit for the difference, you know, from the sale price to the regular. How long that'll last, who knows? If it'll work, who knows? I don't know if I'll even deal with it because I do, like Adam said, I do enjoy the game. It's been a lot of fun.
So here's a complaint from 4 hours ago on Kotaku. Fallout 76's bobby pins are 60 times heavier than actual bobby pins.
Yeah, I mean,
and they're like, we're going to remember this. So
they're picking on the in-game. That's not
video.
Real.
Yeah, that's a real actual complaint. And people commenting on it below are also feeding into it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of goes into that same deal. They're like, there's literally no excuse for this other than input error, just not caring.
Right.
You know,
And that's something that was probably just overlooked during, you know, their beta testing and stuff. And it's something that could be easily fixed in a patch.
Well,
you don't have to get all upset about it.
Who cares?
Just don't get a bobby pin.
Yeah, who cares how much a bobby pin? It's not like it's weighing 100 pounds. It's fractions of a pound still. But, I mean, there's a lot of that kind of stuff, I think, that's happening. It's much like when Solo came out. You know, we've talked about that before, how Solo, everybody I've talked to that's seen it has really enjoyed that movie. But yet you look online, you look at the, you know, Metacritic, you look at Rotten Tomatoes, they all just bash it and say it's terrible, never should have happened, this and that. But the people that you talk to that actually went and saw it enjoyed it. And I think it's just the same thing. Everyone wants to jump on the bandwagon. This game wasn't even 3 hours old in the wild when it was officially released after the beta. And you could find nothing but a string of these so-called reviews that are just ripping the game apart. And, you know, I read something that was a good point and kind of a reminder to even myself, because I was reading all this going, geez, I don't know if I want to get this. And they said, look, any reviews that are coming out right now, 3 hours after the game is launched, are not valid reviews because they have not had enough time to play a final version of this game.
Or can I let me play a little devil's advocate here. Possibly they are, you know, people that beta tested it, but until it was released, the NDA was not lifted. So finally, they're able to do some reviews on it.
But I would counter that and say it's a beta test. It's not the final version of the game that went out. And they issued a big patch to it three, four days after.
Yeah, there was that huge patch. As soon as I bought it, I had to do like a 56 gig patch or something.
No, it was 15 gigs on the PC.
No, it was like 56 gigs or something. It took me like 35 seconds.
Fast internet jerks. On the consoles, though, Xbox and PlayStation, their patch was a lot bigger. I know a lot of people are angry about that because on the PC side where we're playing, it was literally 15 gigs or so. On the PS4 and Xbox, it made you re-download the entire thing, basically. It was like 55 or 56 gigs.
I think when we bought it, they had already released the big patch. So when we downloaded it, Dave, I think we might have already pulled down the current version.
Well, they've only had the one patch, I think.
I thought they had two. Well, anyway, either way, there's a lot of people are complaining about it. And so one of the things I was also thinking, if you played Fallout 4 and previous Fallout stuff, this is the first real fully online game in the Fallout series, is it not?
Yep.
So if you're expecting it to be the exact same, it's not going to be.
No.
And I know that's not for those that are screaming at their cars right now listening to me talk, that's not, I'm not blaming it on that. Like, oh, you're just taking it failure. The game itself does have glitches. I've had some glitches in like the cities and stuff with lag and things like that. Sure. And there have definitely been bugs that they're moving pretty fast to fix. Mm-hmm. You're also in a new environment where you're relying on servers. And then the servers are down. Last week, there was a server that was down for several hours and everybody on Twitter is just exploding on them about it because they posted we're doing some maintenance stuff.
Well, and
when they got it back, I put in a post that said thank you.
Yeah, you know the thing that's interesting, when the servers went down there, they still haven't confirmed it or not, but there was a group that went in. They were this group that launched the first nukes because they had their beta test and they had all the codes. They went and launched the first nuke within hours of after it was launched, same day it was launched officially. And okay, cool, everything's good there. They got the fame, I guess, of being the first person to launch nukes. Well, they went in, they got the codes again, and they decided, we want to see what happens if we launch all three of the nukes into this same area. What is it going to spawn there? Because it, you know, creates an event, basically. And when they did that, I guess when they went to enter the area, the servers went down. So a lot of the speculation online was that, oh, look, they broke the game, launching all three of them at once. It broke the game. I don't know if that was a case or if it was just coincidence. They're not saying, Bethesda's not saying.
Who knows?
But that's why it was down. They got it done, and that's when that 15 gig patch came out the next, shortly after that to fix some things. But
let's see. PC Gamer gave Fallout a 60 out of 100. So it gave it a D.
PC Gamer. Come on, guys.
And so the funny part is, as you're reading through the review and looking at it, they talk about how much fun they were having.
Yeah.
But there's all these glitches and stuff like that. But at the same time, so I get it. And there will be a point where we stop playing because we've explored everything. We're done.
Yeah,
that's where I've gotten with Skyrim. That's where I got with Fallout 4. That's just kind of the nature of some of these games.
Well,
where this is really fun for me is you get online with it's, and this is one of those things that you're going to get more out of it the more you put into it with friends.
Right,
playing it solo is fine. It's like there's plenty of quests, lots of quests. Mm-hmm. But the fun part is getting online, chatting over Discord, not chatting over Discord, but like going and talking to each other as we're playing. Mm-hmm. And teaming up on stuff for quests and stuff. That's just downright fun. You could play for hours doing this. Yeah. Exploring the world. It's fun.
And what was the most fun when we were playing, guys? Was it not that I was the total noob that didn't know how to do a thing? And you guys are like, oh, this guy's an idiot.
Well, it was refreshing Jason not knowing anything.
Right. Usually he's the one that's putting
I went
hours
into this game, never played it before, never played any of the Fallouts. That's the thing Adam couldn't believe. I have not played a single Fallout game, not even the old 2D, ISO, whatever you call them, view ones.
Well, what we need to clarify is not that you were just the noob and didn't know what you were doing. It's that you'd ask us like, okay, so how do I do this? How do I equip this weapon? How do I get this material, whatever? And as we're in the middle of explaining it to you, we turn around, our characters, we're looking like, where did you go? And we look at the map and you're like, half a mile away. I'm down here. There's dudes all over. Let's kill them. I'm shooting them. And ask us a question how to do something basic. Don't even know how to hardly equip your weapons. And then you're just Leroy Jenkins all over the place. And it was fun. I mean, it's fun. I got to look and see if I can export it. Cause I think I did at one point when we had this little glitch happen. We entered a building and it kind of brings you in. It wasn't just walking in through door. It's one that you actually loaded a new zone or whatever.
Yeah.
And when we went in, Jason was seeing, Adam was seeing Jason. Jason's character had no clothes on all of a sudden. And when I looked at it,
undies on.
Yeah, undies, that was it. But all of his armor and his outfit was gone. And when I went in, that's how Adam was, but Jason had clothes. And I apparently had clothes the whole time for both of them, which
was
weird.
Yeah, I saw both of them with clothes.
Yeah.
And we got screenshots of this. That's a funny glitch.
Yeah, just funny stuff that happens like that. And it's like, well, yeah, it's annoying, but it's not like you dropped your armor off. It was all still equipped, just a little visual glitch. And they're going to iron that stuff out. It's a totally different thing for them, too, doing an online world like this. And my thought on it is this. I think they wanted to give people a Fallout game. Their goal, they've come out and said, they want this to be much like World of Warcraft, something people will keep coming back to. And I think they have plans to keep adding new content, you know, to keep people coming back and keep doing things. But I think it's different. It's not a regular standalone game like Skyrim or Fallout or any of those, you know, as far as Fallout 4. And I think really this is something they wanted to give players where they can get in there, have some fun with it while they continue to work on the big release, which is the next Elder Scrolls game.
There is one thing that I did not like about this game, and I didn't tell you guys about this, but there's one thing that I did not like about it. Now, every single Bethesda game created, including the entire Fallout series all the way up to Fallout 4, are available on Steam.
Steam.
And on the PC, I enjoy buying everything through Steam because then I have one place I have to go to re-download it later, etc. But nope, you have to create a Bethesda account. You have to buy it directly from Bethesda. And I didn't like that.
There is a reason they did that.
I understand.
And it's because they have their servers, you know, because it's an entirely online game. There is no...
Like half of the game's on Steam, but go ahead.
Right, but they wanted to... No, I'm saying, though, they wanted to be able to have complete... No third-party dialogue happening, from what I understand. They wanted to have it so everything was completely controlled and in their hands. So that way there wasn't any possibility of anything getting messed up between the Steam system and the Bethesda servers and all of that. From what I understand, that's why they did that. And it's not any different than when Madden came out on the PC now this year for the first time.
Yeah, that was another thing.
You had to go through EA, and I suspect that's why, because of their online component, where they want to make sure there's, you know, they have the most direct avenue to the players, to the people that are enjoying their game, so there's not any, you know, just eliminating points of failure as things go through
that's,
there.
That's actually exactly what they're saying, I think. And it's almost harkening back to the old style of video gaming where you'd install standalone games. But Bethesda does not have to pay Steam operator Valve.
Well, exactly.
You know, any cuts of its sales.
Yep.
And their marketing boss basically told GameSpot the company wants to have a direct relationship with Fallout 76 players due to the game's always online multiplayer focus.
Right.
So, yeah, bingo. But I get why you're annoyed, Jason, because even Fallout 4 is on there. My Skyrim stuff's on there. Everything's on there.
And well, I remember when I went to go buy it. Remember, I said, guys, I can't find it on here anywhere. and then you guys are like, no, you got to go to Bethesda. Yeah.
Well, and I bet you someday it'll show up there. But
right. Yeah, well, then anyway, they better offer me a code where I don't have to pay again so I can, you know, add it to my library.
Yeah, you just download it from Bethesda and then launch it from Steam. That's all.
They're not the only ones that do it. Like Dave said, EA does it. And then there is another one. I had to download another client for their game, too. And I can't remember which one it was now. But it's like, okay, so now I have Steam. Now I have Bethesda. Oh, it was Origin.
That's EA.
Yep.
Yeah, that's EA. Okay. Why do I have to have all these clients installed just so I could buy their games? Come on. I want one place.
Well, because the stuff with the things.
I don't have to do that on PlayStation 4. I just go to the PS Store for all the games.
Did you mean to make that rhyme? What time is it?
It's time for a geek off.
I don't know what that was.
I had no harmonica and I was trying to play a harmonica.
Oh, it was his mouth harp. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Yep.
I don't actually. I don't know. I don't have the geek off.
Who has the geek off
Adam
today?
Adam said he's got it. He's got it handled.
There's no geek off. It's more like a geek on because we're going to do a little more Mad Libbing.
Right. Because we just got done episode 100 and we had this massive super fight club. And we figured we're going to take a little break from that style. And Adam said he was going to hit us up. So
And we might come back with some more different stuff. We're going to keep it. We're going to keep it lively.
I've got some ideas.
Maybe we'll bring back the riddle.
No.
The Riddler.
No, Dave goes, no.
No riddle. Okay. Yeah. So the title of this is How to Be a Photographer.
Photographer.
So nice. Jason, give me an adjective, please.
An adjective. Glowing.
Dave, an adjective, please.
Noisy.
Jason, adjective again.
Smelly.
Adverb, Dave.
Oh, I hate adverbs.
like quickly or something like that. Or
smartly.
Noun, Jason.
Tree trunk.
Okay. Noun, Dave.
Well, I've got to do it now. Boobs. I just had to.
That's every time.
By default. Okay. Noun, Jason.
Milk. Yeah, Dave, I thought boobs. I'm sorry.
Give me a number.
37.
Plural noun, Jason.
Fingers.
Plural noun, Dave.
Cosmic rays.
And plural noun, Jason.
Testicles.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, you guys both have balls on the brain.
Nope.
I'm talking about those ear balls.
How to be a photographer. Many glowing photographers make big money photographing fingers and beautiful cosmic rays. Oh. Would you say that's true, Dave?
No.
They sell prints to noisy magazines or to agencies who use them in tree trunk advertisements.
Tree trunk advertisements.
To be a photographer.
Do you need a tree trunk?
Here's a picture of a cosmic ray, you dummy.
Look at my glowing cosmic ray fingers.
To be a photographer, you have to have a boobs camera.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You also need a smelly meter and filters and the special close-up milk. Then you either hire professional cosmic rays or go out and snap candid pictures of ordinary testicles.
Not extraordinary, just ordinary.
Yeah, they got to be candid. So, I just saw you walking by. But if you want to have a career, you must study very smartly for at least 37 years. Very nice.
Okay.
Those last two fit too nicely together. Like sounded.
They do.
Sounded like it was legitimately a Kodak advertisement from the 60s.
All right, we're gonna do one more.
All right.
Eat, drink, and be sick is the title of this one. So, Jason, give me two adjectives, and Dave, give me an adverb and a letter of the alphabet.
Oh, you and the adverbs.
Slimy and hollow.
And I need sensuously and
sensuous.
Z. Oh, no. X.
Okay. Both of you think of two nouns each. Give them to me as they come to you.
Bladder.
Shoehorn. Beaver teeth.
Meter.
I say that because I've got an actual beaver skull on my desk right now.
All right. Dave, part of the body.
Boobs.
No, we'll bring in a little more detail.
Nipple.
Yeah, we'll say. Go with that.
You guys are just trying to get me to say stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I need six plural nouns.
Oh, jeez. Six plural nouns.
And I'm going to put one in. I'm going to put in barnacles.
Barnacles. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Toys.
Okay.
Let's go. Mugs. Chokers. And thongs.
Cans.
Oh, cans. Okay.
Cans. All right. Eat, drink, and be sick. An inspector from the Department of Health and Bladder Services paid a surprise. paid a surprise visit to our slimy school cafeteria. The lunch special prepared by our hollow dietitian was spaghetti and shoehorn balls. With a choice.
Good.
With a choice of either a beaver teeth salad or fresh barnacles.
Scraped right off the hull of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
So good. The inspector found the meat toys to be overcooked and discovered a live... A live meter in the fries. What is a...
I said meter. It was a noun.
Oh, okay. causing him to have a nipple ache.
Oh, I hate it when my nipples ache.
I got a pain in just that nipple. One on the left.
Yeah, you ever wear that tight shirt that starts chafing them and they get all red and they hurt?
I was thinking I'm going to tell my chiropractor I need to get racked and cracked because my nipple's hurting.
And be like, oh, we can't see each other anymore. In response, he threw up all over his mugs. In his report, the inspector sensuously recommended that the school cafeteria serve only nutritious leeches.
Nutritious.
As well as low-calorie chokers, and that all the saturated cans be eliminated.
He rated the cafeteria saturated.
An X by minus. The inspector sensuously recommended it. Hey, big boy.
This is an X minus.
You're going to sue nutritious leashes. All right. Not, yeah, it's okay.
Man,
not
bad, they're, not they're bad. Good. They're good.
You know, next time, you know what we should do? We should do a naughty Mad Lib.
Like,
I mean,
we
one
haven't?
That's written with a naughty story, not just us trying to do naughty words.
And then we'll put like insanely boring, like,
my Captain processors, Insane. My cloak of invisibility.
Yeah. So let me ask you guys one more geeky question. Just a quick argument between the two of you. Maybe it won't be an argument. When it comes to peanut butter, I got to know. We talking crunchy or are we talking creamy?
Oh, creamy, dude. I hate crunchy.
I actually like crunchy, but my wife doesn't, so I don't buy it.
I mean, I love peanuts, but I cannot stand having that crunch in a sandwich. I need it to be creamy. Right, and don't Jason. Give me that sugar-free peanut butter. That's crap.
Jason doesn't like crunchy nuts, okay?
No, nope. I don't. I like my nuts smooth.
He likes them sweet and creamy.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I always like a big old glass of milk with those nuts.
Do you eat peanut butter by the spoonful?
Okay, Adam's dying.
I'm serious. Will you just take a spoonful of peanut butter
no,
and eat it?
My kids do that, and it drives me crazy. No, I put it on like a bagel, or, I mean, I don't eat peanut butter and jelly.
Heck yeah, I do it.
Maybe more than once a decade, but I love bagels. I love a bagel with peanut butter on it.
It's a great source of protein.
It is, and I propose to you, Jason, since you're watching your sugar intake and you're not getting the sugar-free kind.
Yeah.
If you skip the bagel, think of all the sugars you're saving, the carbs you're saving.
Well, no, I have my special bagels. There's only one net carb in that bagel, and no sugar.
Could just eat two net spoons of peanut
carb.
Butter and be good.
Internet carb. Oh, well, guys, I think we just served us up some soup.
Woo!
That's but a digital soup 101.
How to digital soup.
That's right, bro.
So before we put the lid on it, though, I want the listeners to stick around afterwards because we got something for you.
What do we got, dude?
This is called our unsigned music spotlight. This
oh,
week,
do tell!
We are bringing a band that we've heard once before, Crossover, although it looks like Zova. X-O-V-A. It's a six-piece, multi-genre band who fuse reggae with a modern mix of pop, rock, ska, indie, Motown, hip-hop, and folk.
Everything.
A new crossover genre we call Pop Twist. What I don't see in there is metal, classical, punk. We're missing a few. So
okay.
my challenge to Crossover is to start adding some of that in. But this week's track is called New Revolution. And you can check those guys out at their official page if you go on over to Facebook and search for Zova Band.
Zova,
crossover,
come on,
crossover band, X-O-V-A band is the page that they've got on there. So we will have a link to that in our show notes. Be sure to check it out. It's some good tunes, man. So, anywho.
There's the reggae.
Check it out. The three of us at the Digital Soup Podcast want to thank you guys for listening. To see more content, contact us, or interact in any way, head over to digitalsouppodcast.com. Keep in mind, you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe and leave us a review if you'd be so kind. Plus, we'd love it if you told a friend. From all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, to all of you, stay safe, have an awesome week, and we'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
Later, Gators.
Synchronize your leaders to divert us away.